Yeah, don't know. Maybe Andreas is available on the chat to comment if there is anything to comment, or maybe also Donald. I don't know.
I'll have the ticket chat in my
phone. Okay.
At the moment, Stefan, this was the last talk. We opened the page. Apparently, the last line.
So, do you want to start?
Yeah. So, what is my main question is, which blockers do you see for Tickle 8.7 and 9.0 release? What are the tasks to do and how can we get it out of the door? So last time we asked that question in February in the US in the US meeting, and the answer was, yeah, the new text widget, but that was one single person which said something. So it was, what's his name? I don't know. Okay. And I don't think that's true. It's just one opinion. And yeah. So that's why I've written it on there, because it's for me is the only known point which is basically open. Okay.
Well, I think the extended text widget, it's the proposal to replace it. I think it has too many incompatibilities to do that. Maybe if we get TK 9.0, but that's not the point here. We are switching to Tickle 9.0, and TK will be just 8.6, 8.7, whatever. There will not be a jump in TK, only in Tickle. So that means, long time ago, Tickle and TK versions were coupled. There is, in fact, no need to be coupled anymore. There's no reason to make incompatibilities in TK, only in Tickle.
Maybe there is no technical reason, but yeah. I think it reduces confusion to have them at the same numbers, even if it technically would not make sense or would not be needed.
But then you have the problem, if you have TK 8.7, it works with both Tickle 8.7 and 8.9. Do we have two versions, TK 8.7 and TK 9.0, that are exactly the same except for the version numbers?
I understand that position, confusing. But I'm also talking about somebody who puts out RPMs and who gets then questions back, I use this with that? They don't have the same version.
Yes.
I have been to similar problems with PostgreSQL changing their versioning schema, and that led to a lot of questions.
I can fully imagine that. My personal preference is to keep TK the same, that the next version is TK 8.7, and it has all the new features. It works with Tickle 8.7, and it works with 9, but then at least you are sure that TK is the same. If there is something you need to upgrade in your application, it's because of the Tickle syntax, not because of the TK syntax. That's made the upgrade process less confusing. If you are bringing out TK 9.0, then people expect a major release there as well, and it isn't. There is not so much progress in TK as there is in Tickle. So that's why I think it's more logical this way. Apparently, the TCT people agree, because I didn't hear any sound to bring out TK 9.0. So I also won't propose it.
I'm not a TK user, therefore maybe I'm asking a stupid question. But I mean, the problem with the text widget is it is incompatible in some way and not fully implemented. I mean, wouldn't it be possible to have it, whatever, something like a...
There are some people...
...text widget, a different name, because I guess the old text widget will continue to work.
That could be. One of the reasons...
It's also possible to say extended or whatever syntax for the new features or something like this. It would, I think, because many people using it without complaining about it, why make it stop because something else, which is not finished...
That's also my reasoning. One of the reasons that was told, why is the extended text widget integrated in TK? It's just a replacement of some files in TK, and then the old one is gone. Why isn't it an extension? Well, the reason was because a number of APIs that were used from TK were not exported in the stubs table. So my answer is, well, then export it. So I did an investigation, which are that? So I just took out the extended text widget, compiled it. Well, I got link errors. Which one are there? I just fill in dummies. So I got a list which one of are lacking. And I wrote a tip, add those exactly. Well, that tip was accepted. So now all the APIs that are needed by the extended text widgets, they are now exported in TK 8.7. So now it is possible, I think, to extract it, make it a separate extension, name it something else, and start using it, that people start testing it aside from the text widget. Someone only has to do the work. So that would be my preference as well, to make it that extended text or name it something different. I'm sure things will be lacking. I mean, there are bindings, differences, so some hacks will need to be done to make it work, but someone has to investigate, okay, what hacks, how to make it work.
Another possibility might be to call it a technology preview and put it under Tickle Unsupported until it is ready to replace the standard text widget.
Could also be. But it could be a separate, like TK Table or TK Paths, or why not this one also make it a separate extension?
Okay, first question is about we have some widgets in duplicate version for the tile and for the not tile. Not sure if the new text widget would, for example, fit into the tile thing. It must need not be entirely compatible with the plain TK text widget.
It should have some other namespace, yes. It's not tile related at all, so it doesn't match. It wouldn't be logical.
It doesn't make sense for the tile.
It doesn't make to give it the name TTK text. It's not the same concept. But you should find some other name, then it's okay. Yeah.
Coming from revised text. So that is a new branch called revised text also. So that could be also the name of the namespace, like ref text or something similar.
Yeah, but unfortunately it's not only changed to the text widgets, it's also to the bindings. So I'm not deep in it. I think François Vogel is the one doing the most work on this. Made a lot of regression tests working on the extended text widgets. So it is already much better now than it was 1 year ago. But the original maintainer put off his hands. He said, "Okay, here it is." That also gives less trust to take it over if the one who wrote it doesn't support it anymore.
Maybe I should add that last time when I tested the new revised text branch, I found that everything was okay. So table is maybe the most complicated test widget based extension, and everything was okay with it. That was about 2 months ago. So I think the implementation is already stable enough.
Well, I know that still a lot of regression tests on macOS are still failing. So if I run it on the Mac, I get a lot of warnings running it, about that some background image cannot be found, or so the pixel implementation for the background is different. So I think there are still some problems. On Windows and Unix, I think it works better. But well, we need some Mac experts then to dive in it and have a look, hey, what's going on here? What's he doing different? But there are many changes also that are not related to the revised text, but only because he thinks, hey, that's more beautiful, let's do it this way. it's doing more than only what needed to be. And that's a pity. That creates less trust to the implementation, and that's what people getting holding back. Hey, let's wait. I don't know what risk it is. And yeah, that's the difficulty getting it in. That's unfortunately, because I think it's a lot of work, but yeah, okay.
I have another question. I see myself also as a user, maybe. When I develop some software, I just use the TCL binaries and to build my software. 2 months ago, I found a bug in the 8.6.12, and then I tried to find an official version of the releases. It was on Mac, maybe. That's the problem, maybe. But I was searching for official releases. At the end, I found it in a Python installation. In the latest Python installation, I had an official 8.6.12, which I cannot download for Mac anywhere currently. So my question is, why don't we have for TickleDK, for both, the last binaries? I think they should occur, or should be compiled when the versions are released. So
yeah, simply then? Because someone has to do it. That's, I think, the way the active state doesn't do it anymore. So it means that, in fact, there is no official provider for binaries. So the only official way to do it is get the source code and compile it. It's not that difficult. Even I can do it on Windows, on Unix, on any platform.
The main problem with that is work causes work. So if you say, okay, for example, Christian Gollwitzer has compiled it. That's another ultra nerd. And the result was that people complained, that me included, that that and that didn't work. And Mac is not easy. You have versions and version of libraries and so on. To make something run on a Mac is really a complicated task.
Different architectures?
Yeah. Yeah, now an additional. But I only had the OpenSSL library, another one on my Mac than on the compiled by Christian Gollwitzer, and it didn't work, and it's really a mess. So if there would be someone volunteer to do it, I can only tell, great, but work causes work.
Yeah.
So you must be aware of that.
Yeah, I'm using Homebrew. Yeah. So if you install Homebrew on the Mac, yeah, then you, yeah, can get things working. Then you get the SSL library and... Yeah. So, and everything you might need. What?
Who's the?
Yeah, Homebrew is not MacPorts. MacPorts is another thing. Yeah.
I know it's different, but it's different maintainer communities, and I'm, yeah, a happy user of MacPorts, and everything is fine there. And you can choose the OpenSSL version and whatever. I mean, it's,
yeah,
just wouldn't say that Homebrew is the only version. There are many versions, and maybe this is also part of the problem. But for this, you do not need binaries, because you get the binaries at the end from the provider. I mean, from Homebrew or from MacPorts provides the binaries.
Yeah, they also make builds, I think, yes.
Sorry. When a new version of Tickle is released, you have to test it with the binaries, I think. And so they should be, or they must be available, or not, to have an understanding.
Yeah, the binaries are produced in GitHub. In GitHub Actions, they produce all the binaries, and there all the testing is done for macOS, for Linux, and for Windows. So there's an automatic testing going on there. But they are not exported as official releases. For 8.7, because 8.7 has also integrated ZipFS, so you can make one file executable. That one is exported, and you can download it from SourceForge. So that's
the,
much
the
easier.
The binary is available, right?
Binaries, yes. And you can simply download and install from 8.7.
So where can I find them?
In GitHub.
Is there an official link for that?
In GitHub Actions. Well, I can search for the link. And,
that would be nice. Thanks.
Andreas Cooper has wrote the link into the chat, which is core tickleland.org/dist.
HTML. Yeah.
But it is compiled static, so not with shared library static, and it's only one executable with all the scripts zipped together in it, like a star pack, only with the 8.7 ZipFS used. And, well, that's built every night.
Yeah. I want to come back to the question, what blocks us to release 8.7.9.0, to your opinion?
To my opinion, I want still some tips in it. Most of the tips are already in the tip list. There's still one I'm planning to add, but that's only one. They are all relatively small ones. The biggest things are done. So I would say it's on my wish list for September, for December, Christmas this year. That's what I would say. Things slowing down is currently, I think, the voting process. I mean, many times I put something for voting for 2 weeks, and then there come no response or only no votes at all. And then, well, that slows things down. I think how difficult it is to review some things or then some remarks, and it delays more. I cannot do anything about it to speed it up. Only, well, adapt a tip, go on. But especially, I think, for the Unicode parts, well, I think there are not so many people who are really understanding what's the deepest in it. How should they judge the changes? Well, they shouldn't trust me on my blue eyes. I understand that. But it needs to be tested well. But getting it through the tip process, I think that's slowing down. I'm trying to push it a little bit now. There are currently three tips in voting states. One of it is 607, the one that you were pushing. 601 that's the API below it. You already mentioned it also. I'm glad it is accepted. Currently 8.7 has some strange behavior that if you put in a string to a lower and a higher surrogate, they will magically be joined together as one single code point. Well, that's strange that you have a string of length 1, another string of length 1, and then you glue them together, and the resulting string has length 1. That's not what people expect. But in Tickle 8.7, there's no other way, because the internal representation of strings is UTF-16. And, well, the thing is, if in UTF-16, you have the only way to create an emoji is by joining a higher and an upper surrogate together. And an emoji is one Unicode symbol. It should have length 1. So that's not something we can fix in 8.7. In 9.0, the internal representation is fully UTF-32, so it can be fixed there. So I made a tip, and I implemented the fix. All that special behavior there's in 8.6, just move it out in 9.0. Well, I know where the places are. So, well, it's 1.5 weeks in vote now. Nothing, no vote. So, yeah, I think it should. I expected it would be a simple one to get a lot of yeses, but somehow it's stalling. Well, that takes time for me to again mail again. Hey, please vote. It's almost ending. There are fewer more, but I think about 5, all smaller ones that are still in draft state now that I would like to be in. But the most difficult ones are done. That's the Unicode stuff and the Yeah, getting 9.0 64 bit ready, that you can have more than how do you call it, 2 to the power 31 string length. So higher string length, higher list length, higher command length. That's one waiting still. The lists can now be larger than that limit, but commands still not.
Mm-hmm. Is there already anything in the works for 9.0 to generalize the list interface on the C side to allow for lazy lists?
No, there's nothing in the plan. I don't know any. I don't know any tip on that. No.
I just got reminded by it because on the mailing list we recently had another request for some sequence command that generates a list of ascending
yes.
values, and that I think that we had such a request already a few years ago or, so, or something like this, and back then it was said that it only makes really sense beyond
yeah.
just creating a list, and it only makes a sense if we can make it some kind of lazy list that would be that would just generate one element.
Yeah,
after
this
another.
Proposal was not a lazy list, it was just a range command, but it
yeah.
is still fully generated.
Yes, that's the current request that's currently running, but I
yeah.
think back then there was a discussion that it makes no sense to make a range from 1 to 2, 4 billions, for example, but for a lazy list it would make perfectly sense.
Yeah. I think it sounds good. We just need someone to implement it. That's, I think, the thing with that range command, the suggestion like it is now, I think it is a good suggestion that it's quickly to implement, it is logical. The TickleLib already has something like that.
I have not yet understood how this is working with for each, for example.
It's more complicated altogether.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm happy that Rolf raised the hand. I also would like his opinion on what blocks up from 8.7 from 9.0.
Well, the internal representation is one thing. The other thing is the I.O. I think the current state of the UTF-8 reader is, well, bad. It doesn't bath on invalid UTF-8 sequences. I personally would wish if we make incompatibility change to 9.0, I wish that the UTF-8 reader would bath error out while reading invalid UTF-8 sequences.
That is the case.
No, it's now the reverse. If you try to write it, it errors out. And you would prefer it.
In UTF-8 sequence isn't sensible data. I think this is, thanks to Paul, he already said this bad word Python. I can use it also.
Yeah.
Python 3 buffs by reading invalid UTF-8. I think this is the right thing to do.
Well, Tickle, yeah, let's.
You may ask how I handled this. I have Tickle extension reading XML. Well, I could not use Tickle IO. I read it directly binary from a channel and use UTF-8 checking in my C code. Well, the expert parser I use has it already, so I wouldn't be able to sell my software with this I/O we currently have. This yeah. is,
you, did you, you try
can't,
nine?
You, can't tell, the, you yeah. can't tell your customer, well, if the, if you get invalid UDF8 sequences, your software reads it and you don't even know something, but another one say, hey, this is invalid input. I personally think for 9.0, we need at least additionally an opt-in way to say if the reader reads invalid UDF8, it should pass.
Yeah, let me explain. Currently, the UTF encoder of in 9.0, I think it's already much more like what you want. If you write out UTF-8 to a channel, then you want to be sure that it's really UTF-8. And for example, surrogates are not permitted.
Huh?
For example, well, in Tickle 9, if you try to write out a surrogate, an exception will be thrown. So I think that's what I would expect and what will be. In Tickle 8.7, you cannot do that because the current encoders just translate it with a question mark if something cannot be found. You cannot expect applications written. They are not written to handle such kind of exceptions, so you have to be careful with that. Well, in 9.0, a tip was written, 601, to allow that kind of exception. It was accepted. So this is a known change in 9.0 that was accepted, and I'm very glad about it. When reading UTF-8, you have different situations. You could have invalid byte sequences. Yeah, like FFFF, for example. Huh? Well, that's not even a valid byte sequence, so it should throw an exception with that.
Okay, you have to define what is...
Yes.
You have to define, you have to decide what is...
Yes.
Maybe yeah. we can have two or three different stages of correctness checking while reading. Mm-hmm. But I personally think we should definitely do something even about reading UTF-8. The current state is, if you read an invalid UTF-8 sequence, Tickle does it. If you write it out, nothing happens because it isn't invalid anymore, because the invalid characters are replaced by a question mark, I think.
Yeah.
So you don't get it. And this is unacceptable, I think.
Yeah, maybe the option check would help on that. That yeah, depends what people want. I mean, if you get the bytes FFFF, it could be that, it, for example, it could be that the input is UTF-8 and that it's invalid. It could also be that the input was ISO 88591 and that that's the Y with dot points. The Y with how do you call it, 2 points on it. Yeah, that's 255. That could also be that simply the encoding is wrong. And that's what currently is defined by Tickle, I think. If it's UTF-8, cannot understand, then it will, and then it will consider the individual bytes as if they are. That's the code point. And at least then you have that you make the mistake that you have ISO 88591 instead of UTF-8, and everything works as expected.
I know this, but if I explicitly have configured my channel to be UTF-8.
Yeah.
Then I think it's clear what should be happening. Well, the discussion opinions. That's
Yeah, that's true. I fully understand your point. In the past, Tickle has been a little bit accepting things that are okay. It's invalid, but I know you most likely make this mistake, and then go on with it. well, how far does this cause problems? How far do we want to punish our users who do something wrong, or how far do we want to correct them?
This is a part of tip 131, read my mind and do what I mean.
Yeah.
What Tickle does at this point at the moment.
Yeah. At least Encoder has flags now so that they can report errors, and on the script level it can be used. Maybe there should be another option that not only no complain option for channels, that you have a minus strict option as well, that something like that. Yeah. I think 9.0 is already better than 8.7 in that respect. But okay, let's get experience and see how it works.
Something from the Navi server point of view, and we've also had to do a lot of work with UTF-8 in the past for existing systems. And there's whatever invalid UTF-8 is, there are many, let's say, interpretations and error levels, and one has to distinguish here also between the case of truncated UTF-8 versus complete invalid byte sequences in the middle of the stream. And this truncated is a problem if we have something like asynchronous I/O, you get packages which are cutting somewhere at the place where the rest is not really UTF-8.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a channel that reads this data out and interprets this immediately as by a callback as UTF-8, there's a problem how to deal with this. But I think this leftover management there is easier to manage with a different case to the case where you have in the middle invalid UTF-8, something which is impossible, something like FF or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I also fully agree that you should get in these cases errors, but also from the case of with this error index is something which is, for example, also for what we need in the Navi server is also not sufficient, because if there's an invalid data coming in via some kind of a vulnerability attack, which happens often, you have a bunch of mail and it's not sufficient just to give the user a byte sequence and say on byte sequence something is wrong, but also you want to see the place where does the thing stop, and what is the length of the byte sequence you want to expect there. Therefore, it's also, you need some more detailed data on to know where to look at and where the problem would have happened. For example, also, is the things that we do in the log file. If we log something, then for binary data, it writes a hex representation, says from here to here is invalid UTF-8. It would be certainly nice to have this on the Tickle API level. But I think it's doable. It's nothing complicated. It's just a question of interfaces at the end and the question of extending APIs and so on. But certainly the problem, the problem is as well that we are trying to pass the same data also to other systems, like TDOM, or also like Postgres, and they expect afterwards some correct data, and they have also their own restriction in some ways.
Yeah.
Sure, have to deal with. Therefore, this whole character validation thing is really a complicated thing, and I think more strict input handling is necessary. To the case of the invalid character sets mentioned before, just in the last release of Navi Server, by accident, there is a thing called a fallback resource, because it happens so often that a client says, "I give you UTF-8 data, but it's not UTF-8." Therefore, there's a thing called a fallback character set, and the user can say, what is my fallback character set, and the parser makes another attempt to use, for example, ISO 59 to parse it or whatever. From this point of view, I think it's very hard from the Tickle level to do the right thing in every case. And what I've learned also from many other, let's say, stories is that in the case of a web server, which it's easier sometimes to handle these cases on the C level than on the Tickle level, but I think it's not a solution altogether. But I certainly fully agree that internally, or we should have some we should not swallow errors into the system, and we should be picky on the first place, because otherwise all of the call packages behind this, yeah, including TDOM, will bail out because they expect that, you, that it gets afterwards a valid UTF-8, and if everybody is checking afterwards the validity of UTF-8, is somewhat stupid. But it's a question afterwards to which release should it go, and I think it's rather something for 9, and from my personal view it's more important to get 8.7 out soon than 9, but it's just my personal
I think, and also in my opinion, they should be at the same time. Many tips addressed now, they are either for 8.7 and then forwarded for 9 or for 9, but then a compatibility function is added by 8.7 too. So 8.7 and 9.0, they are almost equal. Only 9.0 can handle larger strings, larger lists, larger everything. But apart from that, on the script level, they behave almost the same. Yeah. So it's logical to bring them out together at the same time, also with this message. If you want maximum compatibility with the extensions you already have, then take 8.7. If you are not satisfied with, I think, I don't like this, like you say, I prefer stricter exceptions with errors, and I don't mind that it's not exactly incompatible, then you go to 9.0, so people have the chance. I think both will be supported for some time.
Yeah. May I give 2 cents on the cradling point? If I want specially handle a stream, I read it as binary, and then I handle it with encoding convert to. And okay, then I get... I want to terminate.
Yeah.
Then I get, for example, the index of where is the wrong place and so on in my string. So by tip 607. If I decide as programmer to say, okay, now a channel is UTF-8, then that is my intention as programmer to say now it is UTF-8. And then it should error out if there is something illegal in. And I think we have the tip 601 with SASSET, which says, okay, we error out if there are illegal sequences. So I would call that a bug if it doesn't error out. So we don't need an additional tip and so on. I would call it a bug. And same with tip 607. If tip 607, we have a binary. For example, we imagine I want to make something okay. I want to investigate the data and look if there's a bomb and so on. Okay, I first read it in as binary and then I check it. So that's my decision as a programmer, and then I look if there's a bomb, and if yes, I take UTF-8, and if not, I take that, or if I try and get an error, so it's encoding says me an error, so I have to try something else or something like that. If I want to do that on the script level, I read in binary and then I handle it. But if I, also on that level, if there's any error not detected, for example, FFFF, what was just told, that's quite new to me, but I've never thought about it. So if encoding convert from UTF-8 doesn't error out on bad sequences, so if there are defined sequences, I also would call that a bug. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a short answer to the arguments. I mean, for NaviServer, it's not an option to suck in all of the data and start convert then, because you want to possess the data immediately. And the data you get is sometimes a few gigabyte, maybe terabyte, people are uploading it. You cannot think about putting everything into memory and then pick the conversion. It's really, the server comes to a halt and it runs out of memory, because we have not only one request, we have sometimes thousands concurrent incoming requests. We need partial I/O. We need, and the data you're getting are, you have to commute, you have to keep them in memory somehow. It's not working for this. But I'm not complaining from the NaviServer point of view, but I say that there are scenarios where it is not really realistic to collect all data, and afterwards do one convert to. And for the reason why this coding was done is I made it the way how you said to reject it, but immediately the user said, we know it's incorrect, but what does she do? We get this data from this legacy server, which is on whatever, a Solaris box, and we know it's incorrect. Before, we had wrong data, and for a maintainer of a web server, it's easier to have some invalid data. They prefer to have invalid data over an error, because the people will immediately complain about the error. I mean, they can say, if you get invalid data, getting a wrong character, a question mark, whatever, is acceptable, but at the end, the invalid data is stored in the database, and they never get rid of it. Therefore, this solution with this fallback character set, which is optional, I mean, it's by default, there is no fallback character set, but the site admin can say, I want to have this fallback, or for this call, I want to have it, then it works out quite nicely. It's just saved them a lot of work. I just say, it's not only about about correctness and what should be the case, but it's about real world systems which have often bad data.
So I will sum that up with Tickle 9.0 tolerant mode for channels.
I mean, I think all of the Tickle written web servers will enjoy this. I mean, which are, if you write a Tickle server in, let's say, a web server in Tickle,
Yeah, I see your point. I think
Lambda service, all of the low-level thing in C, and also IO in C, and it's avoiding, for traditional reasons, the Tickle IO. I mean, for buffering, for the event handler. I mean, it's just we have sometimes more than 2,000 concurrent connections, and select bails out, and it breaks the thing, and the system will break down exactly in the situation where you need it the least, because there's a lot of loads there. Breakdown means no way to handle this. Simply, it happens suddenly that you get a crash, and looking what the crash happens is requires some kind of knowledge. I mean, for this reason, we said we use, let's say, C-level and put the higher level services based on this. So it's not an issue for Navi server, but I would say that every else, that there are many Tickle based web servers out there, would be certainly helpful.
Yeah, the Tickle channel system was written when there was nothing else available. ICU didn't understand yet that it has much more encodings than Tickle has. So there was some kind of Chinese encoding. I don't know if it was you who requested it. Some GB, some encoding that was missing, and someone asked, "Hey, can't we add that?" But it turned out to be very complicated. It has it should have some additional modes added to the channel system. It was simply not worth it.
Yes.
So. I don't know which encoding it was.
GB1038, GB means means Chinese standard, is by law a requirement that each software which may be used in China requires GB1038, I think it is.
1038 might be, some GB, I remember.
And this one is a beast because it covers all Unicode, but it orders in a way that Chinese characters are represented by shorter sequences. So that's basically what happens. For me as barcode, I fight for each byte. So in barcoding, we often use this guy. And that will be a task I will also approach personally to get that one in, because I need it. Yeah,
I think it's difficult to get it in the current channel code. I had a short look at it, but I don't see it happen, but maybe a good idea would be to integrate the ICU as an extension for the encoding, then replace the full system.
Tip 607, where you said it's complicated and so on, at the end, apparently it works, so even I survived it, so let's look to the next challenge.
Okay.
I want to take the last quarter of an hour to think about a bit of plan, how to get 8.7.9.0 out. Perhaps we as community, I think about a resolution or a plan or a proposal. So Jan, I think, has given a starting point, which is, for me, very useful. So to say 8790 better end of the year.
I hope so. Well, the best thing you can contribute is test it. Huh? Get 9.0 as it is now, compile it, test your own programs with it, whatever, and report any problems you find. That can help to get more trust in it to get it done.
Let me ask about ICU. Not there. The IBM conversion library. I think there was talk about in the second last meeting, ICU would be a solution for a lot of channel problems. Linking against ICU. What is the state of this idea? Was discussed, I think, in the March or so Zoom meeting.
Oh yes, but ICU has many functionalities. There's a lot of encodings, anything. Yeah. Well, there is a tip now. I'm going to bring it to vote soon, to use some ICU functionality in TK in order to glue the. It's only for TK. In order to glue the glyphs together. So I mean, some emoji, they have more than two Unicode bytes. You can have a family like a man joined with a woman, and then there are. So if you count the length, it is three, but then you want TK to jump over it. If you are on that emoji, you jump to the right, you don't want to jump to the different family members if it's only one glype on the thing. So I wrote an extension to that. It interfaces with ICU for TK, and TK uses ICU to look where those groups are and uses the forward and the backward bindings to jump farther away than only a single one. I think I will put it to vote soon in a few weeks.
So does libICU have a compatible license? Is the license compatible with TZLT?
It doesn't matter because it's not integrated. We call the DLL.
Okay.
It's not linked with it. Even the latest Microsoft 10, Windows 10, has the UCI DLL already installed, and it finds it.
I think I don't know what license it has, but if it were GPL, some people think that even if you link to a GPL library because you include the headers and stuff like that, you still get tainted by GPL.
Yeah.
And probably that would not be wanted by the GPL.
No, we don't integrate the headers. We just use the dynamical loading parts from Tickle to load the DLL, look at what symbols in it, and call it. It uses DLL open to find the DLL and open it. So there won't be any license problem. Yeah. We don't supply ICU with it. We depend on the system. You have to install it yourself. It's not integrated like Zlib.
Would Tickle be using the libICU headers or not?
It doesn't use the ICU headers. No. So it opens the DLL and looks at the symbols at the name.
Okay, but then it's subject to failing in case the ABI changes.
Yes, that's the risk. But it's already the same for many releases, so I don't think that risk is very high.
Say to ICU, it would be great to have it integrated, I have to say, also from sorting and collating, because there's so much functionality and everything is there, and trying to reprogram this is horrible. And
I think there should be a Tickle extension for ICU, and it should replace the current channel system that Tickle has, I think.
But also sorting, I mean, the collating sequences, it's from history it has to be compatible, but in real life system, you want to have all of the German umlaut should be at the right place, whatever. Therefore, it's currently painful to see how the default sorting is working for end-use application. I mean, for technical people, it's no question about this, but therefore it would be certainly useful. And the It's also one thing where also Navi server has using this the API call, I think it's Collate or L-Collate, which is using, for example, under Linux, the ICU. Therefore, it's, you're getting the same sorting order as for PostScript, which also uses ICU. From this point of view, it certainly would be also there an advantage. But certainly, it changes the whole behavior of the system. Therefore, if it's done, it's always used for sorting there. Therefore, I mean, you get more stable results if it would be possible to say whatever, tickle 9.0 requires an ICU binding. But I can't say, I've not looked how easy it is to port it to BSD family. And but if you say Windows has it already, therefore, maybe it's not so bad.
Windows has the DLL already, the latest Windows 10, I don't know, half a year ago or something.
No.
No, it started with Windows 10, some version. Well, half a year, 1 year ago, something like that. So you need one of the latest Windows 10, but then you have ICU. macOS doesn't have it, but it has its own API, and that's used in that TK. So on macOS, you don't need ICU. It uses the system calls. But it's rather small thing. I hope to get yeses on that soon. I don't expect many problems, but never know. You never know.
I also invite everybody to be more vocal on the call list, on everything, to test and to be active. Because it's very frustrating if Jan or whoever, Jan works day and night for Tickle, and then he sends something and there are no answers, and that's quite sad. I often do, with my limited knowledge, I just send an answer to invite others to get vocal.
I appreciate that.
Same for Ashok, for example, who has made a great, well, he's at the moment doing breaking, very interesting things.
Yes.
Perhaps you have seen the recent branch, and it's only a branch about standard in, standard out for Windows, which also a very important point. And about the list, new re-implementation with the shimmering stuff and so what is, I think, a great one. So he sends something and there's no answer, and that's quite sad. So even if you don't know and so on, please be vocal. Thank you.
It's because of the transmission.
On that line, I would be willing to test, but the problem here is because I don't know how I would apply on my solutions, you know. Maybe because I'm lacking knowledge to use those kind of tools, and how do I catch that up? And then I would be a good potential tester for him or for anybody.
Okay, thank you. So if anybody has any problems on Windows, I can help. So I regularly provide people with intermediate ones and so on. For example, Alexandru, who is also quite vocal, and he's also sometimes quite limited. I often provide him with testing and with stuff, so he tests and I can help for the Windows if you want to test something. What is the fact that currently in Tickle and TK, if you want to test recent stuff, you must check it out of Fossil?
Yeah.
Because even Tickle and TK, you need the most recent from both to test. You cannot use, for example, the last alpha from Tickle and the latest TK and vice versa. So it is a fact that both make steps together. Yeah.
The reason for that is also that I'm using TK as a test for Tickle functions. So when Tickle was enhanced that you can have larger lists. In TK, in some places, lists are handled. So then I change those lists in TK so that it can use the new API. So normally, if I commit something in Tickle, some new functions, then 1 or 2 weeks later, it might be that in TK, something is committed that uses that new function. So it won't work with all those things. I think that's a side effect from that. As soon as something is available in Tickle, I want to use it in TK. In incremental tickle, I do the same. In TBC, how do you call it? TBCD.
That sounds like you are calling for a TK9 as well.
I'm also calling for TK9, but no, not for a tick. No, because it's using. It is a feature of tickle that you can handle larger lists. TK can only handle it if it links with tickle 9.
Will then a TK that got compiled against tickle 9 be able to run against tickle 7.6?
Yes.
8.7?
No, but you need to compile it.
If
you compile, it's the same. It's source compatible, not binary compatible.
Yeah.
So if you compile TK 8.7 against tickle 8.7, it will run. If you compile it with 9.0 headers, it will run as well. But the trick used is the file name of the DLL is different. So you can compile TK twice. Just compile it in an 8.7 environment, install it, compile it in a 9.0 environment, install it, and both will work.
Okay.
So if you run...
I'm now thinking with my RPM packages head on.
Yeah.
How would I be able to provide tickle 8.7 and tickle 9? I sort of put versions into the names, but if TK has the same version against both tickle versions,
yes,
then I run into trouble distinguishing the packages and getting the dependencies right.
Yeah. Well, what you could do is build it twice, once from the 8.0 environment, once from the 9.0, and then copy over the DLL from 9.0 to 8.7 and bring that as a release. So it has two DLLs, two SO files, and everything else is the same. That's the only difference. The name of the shared library is the only difference between the two
but
builds.
Then I have to require both tickle versions at the RPM level.
You can choose then. You only require them for building, not for running.
Some users of Red Hat of SUSE.
Yeah.
Some users of SUSE may have installed Tinker package 8.7. Some other people may have installed Tinker package 9.0 at some point in the future when it is already available. And now each of them may think, actually I want TK also installed. Now they install one package, TK, but they can install TK 8.7, and one of them will be sad because the package TK 8.7, now the RPM for this package will either require Tinker 8.7 or the package will require the other one. It's a binary.
Yeah, if it doesn't, it won't run, but a TK shared library is not linked directly to the Tickle shared library. So that means you can install it, but only runtime, if it's available, it will work. So indeed, that's a tricky. You could have a TK package that work with both, but if you don't install Tickle 8.7, neither 9.0, that is useless.
Yeah,
but you
can. That's because normally I have a dependency. If somebody requests only TK, it will have a requires on a certain TCL package, and now when I have two packages, I need to choose one of them.
Yes, I understand that.
And
well,
both. On the
my suggestion would be leave out.
Alone, still with the same TK packages, TK package. But it's good to know that there will be challenges coming up.
Yes.
Time to test and time to figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah, you could make two different packages, one for 0.1, one for 8.7, and one for 9.0.
Yeah.
That's true, but then you have the problem.
I could just go ahead and call it 9.0.
That's
and hope
good.
For if there will be ever, I would strongly lobby for if there will be ever a TK above 9, it will not start at 0 in case Tickle is already at 9.3 or something, but it will start at the same version, which is the Tickle version. It gets released together.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Then I can myself call the TK87 package that got built against Tickle 9. I can call it Tickle 9 without clashing with any future releases.
Yeah, that would also be a possibility. We could jump TK further to 9.1, 9.2 immediately in order to make that's conflict, yeah.
If it will ever cross the border.
I'm not sure if you can encode two version numbers into one version string. Maybe you can.
There are ways to have an OR.
The dependency, but I think that the TK package itself might have two version numbers. The one of TK, that would be 8.7, and then
for 9.0. But then those two packages, they install in the same place, and almost all the files in it are exactly the same, except for the name of the shared library. So I don't know if a package manager can do that. They can say, hey, you are...
I can just do a libtk9 package, which contains only the library, and the rest is just... In the other package.
That would be better than a libtk9. Yeah. Or libtk8.7 for 9.0, something like that, that contains only the shared library for 9.0 and everything else. I think that would be the best solution.
I think you will not have that problem only with TK, but with many other binary compile things. Because when it is compiled with 9.0 headers, of course, many types change. Yeah, so it's also TDB, ODBC, and so on. So anything.
So it will be an ABI break. It without an API break everywhere.
Yes, 8.7 and 9.0, Tickle, they are source compatible, but not binary compatible. Yeah.
And of course, for example, if the typical. Example TCL USHA. Well, if it is later used by TDPC, for example TDPC package, and it gets a header in, and it gets from Tickle, okay, now it has size 4 bytes, and it compiled with others, it has only 2 bytes. Mm-hmm. So you generally will have that problem, and perhaps we'll decide to skip 8.7 and deliver only 9 and get a problem like that solved. I think, I don't know. But normally in Linux distributions, as a standard, you distribute only one version. So
we have had, for example, different PHP versions and different Python versions installable in parallel, or different PostgreSQL versions installable in parallel.
In parallel, wow.
Yeah.
If they are incompatible and there's still stuff requiring one and other stuff requiring the other, you have no other chance than figuring it out to install it.
Okay. So thank you for being ready and thank you for being a tester. time is over, I think. What are the organizations saying? As I have initiated that, I will take the end words. Sometimes it happens. So thank you, Jan Mietmans, to come with a car this long way from Netherlands to us to enrich and ask the important questions. I still give it as homework for everybody. Perhaps we find tomorrow again some time to get a strategy, what we do with the releases and what we do with Donald Fellow. As I think he's overworked, over not in the position. Donald Porter, sorry. Mm-hmm. And maybe at least we all know it is a problem in the community, and can we think about the solution? So I give that as homework for the next beer. Thank you.
Thank you.